Okay, we're going to be in here from the top of Kuf Yud Chet Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a gozelet chavero, person who steals from his friend, o shi ovamen, or borrowed money from him, o shi yifkidlo biyishuv, or he gave him something to watch, his friend gave him something to watch, he's a shomer of an item, and this was done within the city, or within the normal confines of the yishuv, where people normally live. Lo yachzir lo b'midbar, he's not entitled to return this item to the individual if he happens to meet up with him or bump into him in the midbar. He's not entitled to give it over to this individual to watch, because when he took it from the yeshuv, the expectation is that it will be returned in the yeshuv. And when he returns him into the midbar, it's not considered returning. And even if he hands the item to the other individual, to the owner, meaning he gives it back to him, then it's not considered given or returned until the owner himself gets it back to the yeshuv. Because that's not where he expects to receive his item or to get his item back. It's not protected. It's not in a place where he would normally have this item. And therefore, it's not classified as hashavah, as returning, until the person gives it back to him in the yeshuv. Amunat, let's say, Mibidar, if he gives it back, what seems to be here, a condition in the borrowing, that he can return it, or the shomer who's watching is taking it with the condition that he can return it in the midbar, yachzir lo b'midbar, that he's entitled to return it for him, to him in the midbar. So, Rimino, we have a question in our Mishnah. Melve mishtalemet b'chol makom. A loan can be paid back any place. Aveda or pikadon, el mishtalmi melo b'mikoman. On the other hand, aveda, something we find in aveda, or pikadon, or shomer is watching a pikadon, and el mishtalmi melo b'mikoman. Then you have to give it back from the place that they were found and the place that they were taken from. So that sounds the opposite of our Mishnah, or at least a problem for our Mishnah, because first of all it says, you can pay back a loan anywhere, and our Mishnah limits the repayment of a loan to the place where it was originated. So Rabbi Hachikamar, this is what it means. No, a person can come and claim or demand repayment of his loan in any place. Why is that? Because the malvez yado alayona, the creditor always has the upper hand, and since the creditor has the upper hand, then he can make demand for payment wherever he wants. On the other hand, aveda or pikadon the owner of these items can only ask for them back where he gave them to be watched, or where the place where he lost them. In the yeshuv, that's where he can ask them back. He can't demand them some other place. He can only demand them in the place that either was given to be watched, or for the aveda, in the place that it was lost or being held by the individual. So now, the Gemara says, I'm not to say the midbar, the Mishnah says there's a tenai that he can be paid in the midbar, then he may do so. The Gemara says, pshita, of course. If there's a condition in the loan or in the shmirah that he may return it in such a place, then what do you need me? You don't need a Mishnah to tell you that you have to abide, or you have to abide by that tenai. Right? It says, the owner comes and says, you watch this pikadon for me, because I'm going out to the desert, so I want you to watch it while I'm out there. The shomer says back to him, I'm also planning on traveling down into the midbar. If I want to, I might return it to you, Hatam. Then it'll be a good returning. If I want to take that option to return it to you out in the midbar, that would be a good returning. So what's the chiddush here? So Rashi says that even though it's not really a tnai gamur, he didn't make this as an explicit condition of the loan that I may return it to you there, but rather he uses the lashon. Rashi says ibayit, right? Our Gemara uses the lashon of ibayino, that if I'd like to, I can return it to you there. So he didn't make it a condition. He just happens to mention it as a side effect. It's almost like an implicit tnai, implicit condition in the loan because of his mentioning of these facts. And the fact that he mentioned, I might return it to you, or if I want to, I can return it to you there, then it almost becomes incorporated in the loan, and he has permission to return it, even though it's not an explicit tenai in the loan. Okay, now the next Mishnah begins. Omer chavero gizalticha hilvitani hefkatetzli. The individual says, I either stole from you, or I borrowed money from you, or I was a shomer for you, you left something with me. Ve'eni odea im chagzarti lecha. Right? He goes, I have no idea whether I returned it to you. If I did not return it to you. So he has a definitive statement about a transaction or interaction that took place, which means that he was in possession of the other person's item. That he says definitively. But he has a safek. He's unsure about the fact of whether he returned it or not. So in that case, the Mishnah says, Chayav l'shalim. He's got to pay for it. Aval hi mamar lo in yodeya im gizalticha im helvitani im hevgat eitzli patur min l'shalim. On the other hand, if he does not make a definitive statement as to the fact that he was in possession of this other person's item, then he is patur min l'shalim, because then we never have any definitive evidence or statement that says that the other person actually gave him something, or that he was actually in possession of the item. In that case, he is patur min l'shalim. The Gemara says, Itmar. So this person says, you know, I gave you 100 zuz, you have 100 zuz of mine. The other guy says, any of the, I don't know. Now the I don't know here means not, I don't know if I paid it back to you, because then that's like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when you admit to the fact that you were in possession of it, means I don't know if I paid it back, then you're chayav. So I don't know over here means I don't know if you ever gave it to me. That means that the claimant is saying I gave you an object, I definitively make a definitive claim that I gave you an object, and the defendant is saying I just don't know if I ever got this item from you. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda believe he is chayav. Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan amrei patur, that you are patur in this case. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda amrei chayav. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say chayav bari v'shema bari odif. We have a bari, we have someone making a definitive claim, which is the claimant, saying that I definitely gave you something. And we have a shema, we have a maybe claim, which is the claim of the defendant, which says, I don't know if you ever gave it to me. So when we have a bari and a shema, bari odif, we go with the definitive statement, the definitive claim, and therefore he's going to be chayav. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Imrei Patur. Nachman and Rav Yochanan say he's patur, why? Ukei mamonu b'chezkat marei. We use the principle that we use throughout the shas, which is, amotzi mechaver alav haraya. Person wants to remove or move property from where it exists or where it's currently placed, he has to bring the proof. The burden of proof is on that individual. So over here, the money technically, or what is supposed, is sitting with the defendant. Now, if the claimant wants to get that money out of the defendant, or he wants to move, change what the current status quo is, he's got to bring a raya. Otherwise, the status quo will stand. That's what it means. Okay, mamonu b'chezkat marei. So now it's non. What about our Mishnah? What are you going to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, about im amarlo in yodeya. He says, I don't know, im hilvitoni, if he lent it to me and I'll patur. Say, hechidami. What's the case here? So if he says, I don't know if he ever lent it to me, he's patur. Right? And that's the case that we just described here. Mane li biyadech, I gave you a mane to watch, or I lent you a mane. And he says back to him, in yodeya, I just don't know. Say, hechidami. What's the case? Ilem et gokatav tavale, if there is no claim. Meaning that nobody's making a claim against him in the Mishnah. That's why he's patur over here. He just says, I don't know if I ever borrowed. That's why he's patur, and nobody's making a claim against him. So that's why it's not a problem for Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Then the Gemara says, if that's the case, Reisha Namid Lo Katavalei, that implies that the Reisha, the first case in the Mishnah, is also a case where he did not have a definitive claim against him. Then am I Chayav? Why is he Chayav in that case? Meaning that if you, in the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah, where he says, I borrowed from you, I was watching something for you, or I stole something from you, and then he says, I just don't know if I paid you back, there's no claimant over here, so why does he have to pay at all? Why is he chayav? Ela katavale, that he is, there is a tviya, there is a claimant here. Tani, seifa, patur, milishalim. So wait a minute, if it's a case where you made a claim against him, Tani seifa, and then the seifa says, patur, milishalim. So the ratio we understand now, if he has a claim against him, the guy comes and says, you stole from me, you borrowed from me, and then you say, I just don't know if I paid you back, or I don't know if I returned you the gzeira. So in that case, he's chayab. But then how do we understand the second case in the Mishnah? The second Mishnah says, you borrowed something from me, or you took something to watch from me, and the other person says, I don't know if I ever took it, I don't know if I ever borrowed the money, and it says, patur. That's exactly like the position of Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan over here. So what's Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna going to do with that? So Gemara says, there is no claimant here, there is no claim here. So now we run into the problem again with the ratio. That explains the seifa, why he's patur, but then why is he chayav in the ratio? Even when he makes an admission that he borrowed or he stole, but he says, I don't know if I paid back, but there's no way claiming anything from him. Why does he have to pay any money here? So when it says, Vereisha, Bavada Tzait Yidei Shemayim. True. Midine Adam, from Dine Beis, then we can't be Mechayev him. But we're Mechayev him, or why is Chayev over here, is Tzait Yidei Shemayim. If he wants to return the item, if he wants to be classified as Hashallah, that he's returned the item, the only way he can do that is if he knows for certain that he returned it. And the only way to do that is to pay. So the Chayev over here is not Chayev that he's obligated to pay, but rather he's Chayev because if he wants to be Tzait Yidei Shemayim, he wants to be sure or certain that he's really returned the item, he's got to pay it. In right now, we have a similar statement. Amr b'chir ba'av, Amr b'yochanan, Omer l'chaver, Oman ali b'yadech, says that you have 100 zuz of mine, v'halo omer in yodeh. The person says, I really don't know if I have it. Chayav, but chayav is not chayav b'din adam, but chayav b'vada tzait yedei shemayim. So even though we can't be obligated him here, b'din adam, because we only have a claim by the claimant, but the defendant says, I don't even know if this ever transpired. Since we have no idim, we don't have anything to work on. But even though we don't have anything to work on, we still say, Chayav Latzeit Yidei Shemayim. So we see from that even a person who's Potur Midin Adam, we admit that in that case, he's chayav if there's a ktzat tainat bari. At least if there's some sort of definitive claim on behalf of the claimant, then if the other person, even though there's a denial with regards to that claim, or if there's a denial of that fact in some way when he says any odeya, so even though we can't be mechayev midei adam, we're still chayav midei shemayim. So to our Mishnah, according to Avuna and Rav Yehuda, when the Mishnah says in the Reisha that he's chayav, even though there is no claimant here, but nonetheless, because he admitted that he borrowed, or he admitted that he stole, or he admitted that he was the shomer, so really there's some sort of evidence that a transaction took place, or some sort of interaction took place, and then when he says any odeya afterwards, right, we can't be mechayevim bidini adam, because he hasn't admitted to anything, but on the other hand, we can be mechayevim to, let's say, today shemayim. So Rashi over here points out that in the position of Nachman and Rav Yochanan, that say he's patur, he still has to take a shvua. Why does he have to take a shvua? Well, we have a general principle by kofar bakol. Someone who denies that something ever happened, when he's kofar bakol, he says, I don't owe you anything. In that case, he has to take what's called a shvua tesit. He has to take a shvua midrabanan, that he doesn't owe him anything. So Rashi says that any odeh should not be any better than that. If by kofar bakol he denies everything, he has to take a shvua that he's telling the truth, then certainly by any odeh he has to take a shvua that he's telling the truth. Tosfos points out that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, because the halacha bedine is always like Rav Nachman, and he quotes Rashi, and he says he thinks Rashi is correct in this instance, but he points out that Rashi is only the day out. Rav Nachman has two, there are two explanations in the position of Rav Nachman when Shvuot Heset applies. The Shvuot Heset, the need to get, take a Shvuot when it's kofar bakol, only apply when there's drora de mamona. That we'll see in the beginning of Bava Metzia, in the first Bava Metzia, we'll see Machlokes din Rashi and Tosfos, what drora de mimona means, whether it means hefsed, whether it means that there's a loss encountered over here, or whether drora de mimona means that there's a safek that has nothing to do with their ta'anot. So, whatever the reason, what's called drora de mimona, only when drora de mimona exists do we say you have to take a shvat hefsed, then the same thing will apply by any yodeh. There's another Rishon of Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman says you take a shvat hefsed in any case it's called for by kol. Anytime you deny, you take issue with the seitz. So it says here, it's clear that Rashi is going with that day in Rav Nachman, that in any instance, when there is, even when there's no drora de mamona, we still say that you have to take issue with the seitz. He also says, I think Allah is like Rashi. Although, he says that the Rabbeinu Tam, because of the safek, was not willing to make people take a shvu'ah without a drora de mamona. He says, well, do we have a safek here? And without drora de mamona, we're not, you're not allowed to force someone to take a shvu'ah. Although the Re says that he saw, first of all, that the Re claims that he saw Rabbeinu Tam be mashbiyah someone, and Rabbeinu Tam had a looser definition of what drora de mamona was. And number two is he said that Rabbeinu Tam did not stop other dayanim from forcing the shvua. He just personally would not do it, but he would allow other dayanim to exact the shvua from someone who was kofar bakol. Okay, now continuing with the next Mishnah. Konev tle mina eder, someone who steals a tle, someone sees a sheep from the flock, ve'chzilo, and then he returns it. So he stole it and he returned it. Umeito nignav, and that sheep dies or is stolen, chayav ba'achrioto. The ganav, the one who stole it, is responsible for it. Lo yadu balim, lo b'gnevato, v'lo b'chazareto. But balim don't know when it was stolen or when it was returned. Umanu et etzon, and then they count etzon, v'shleima, and the flock is whole. Then he's patur. The Mishnah is somewhat cryptic of how to parse the different sections of the Mishnah. That's exactly what there's four machlokas in the Gemara, how to parse the Mishnah. So I'm translating it loosely, and now we'll see in the Gemara how to explain this. So Amarav, the dot, if the balim know about the gneva, somehow they know, realize that there's an animal missing, then sarach dat. The only way to return such an item when the balim know about it is to inform the balim that you've returned the animal. Shalola dat, if the balim are not aware of the fact that the animal was stolen, then you have two options. Either you inform the balim when you return it, or minyan poter, that if the balim counts it and they find their eider whole again, then he is patur, because, right, he never knew there was something missing, and he counts them, he knows all those animals are there, he's taking responsibility for them. V'chitani, and that's what he says. In the Mishnah, that last statement in the Mishnah, umanu et etzon v'hishlema, when it says that if he counts the zone and they're all there, he's patur, that's going on the second case, the seifa of the Mishnah, which says, lo yadu balim. The balim don't know about it, you have two options, either to inform them, or the last line in the Mishnah, which is, you can't, if he counts the stone, that'll make you patur. Shmuel offers another possibility. Shmuel Amar, ben ladat, ben shlodat, minyan poter. Shmuel says, it doesn't matter whether the balim know about it being stolen, whether they don't know about it being stolen, right, you have really two options in returning it. You can either tell the balim, or the other option is to have a minyan, that if the balim end up counting it, that will be sufficient in order to have the balim, or you be patur in this case. The chigtani manu at the tzon vishlema, and this last line of the Mishnah says that when they count the tzon, if the balim count the tzon that you're patur, that is going on kula. That's going on in both cases in the Mishnah. So you have to read the Mishnah. Go to the tlemina either. Someone steals the tevek, zero. That's taken in case of yadu. In case of yadu, and that's also true of lo yadu balim, lo b'gnevato, v'lo b'chizato. Right? In both those cases, you need dat balim in order to return it. Right? But now, the manu, but there's another option. If you don't want to inform the balim, if they actually count it, then they are also patur. That replaces the need for dat balim, is the minyan according to Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan explains the Mishnah like this. Ladat, if the balim know about it, then minyan poter. So the balim know about it, you have two options. Either you tell the balim when you return it, or if they're moneh, if they count their flock, then they're also patur. So one of two options. Shalom ladat, afilin minyan namilo tzarich. If the balim never know about it, then as soon as you return it, you don't have to inform them about it, they don't have to count it, you're patur. As soon as you return it, that's the position of Rabbi Yochanan. V'chitanu manu atetzon v'ishlema ha-resho. So the way Rabbi Yochanan explains the Mishnah is that it's going on the resho, meaning that akonev t'leminai d'vechzor meto nigdav chaya v'achruto. If there's dat, the only way to get it back is to have dat balim to inform the balim. Number two, lo yadu balim lo b'gnev tov l'chezeto, you are patur. And another case, your patur is a manu atetzon, when in the case where the balim knew about it, and they also count the tzon v'shlemahi patur. That's the additional case where you're patur. So the two cases of the safe are patur, so you met different cases. Right, the case of lo yadu balim lo b'gnev tov l'chezeto, that's patur. And manu atetzon v'shlemahi, that's also patur, but that's referencing back to the first case in the Mishnah, which is the case where it was dat balim. Chista Amar, and this is the way we pass in the Halacha. Chista says, "Ladat minyan poter." When the balim know about the fact that it was stolen, you have two options again. One is either dat balim, you inform them that you're returning it, or minyan. If they count it and they find their eder to be full again, then they realize it's been returned, and then you are patur. Shlo ladat. If they don't know that it was stolen, tzarich dat. The only way to return it to them is by informing him that you have returned it. And when it says that it's going on manu atetzon v'ishleima, that's going on the first case in the Mishnah of dat balim. When the balim knew about the stealing, then you have two options. Either you inform them, or you do the minyan. But when there's no dat balim, then you're chayav in every instance. So Mar says, let's explain the reasoning of Rav Chista. All the other Morayim, Rab, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, we can explain logically their argument because they separate between dat and shalom midat. Dat is more chamor than shalom midat. But how do you explain the position of Rav Chista where shalom midat is actually more chamor than dat? So Mar Tamid Rav Chista Hov, Ankita Nagre Vraito. Problem is that this tzon got used to, this animal that was taken out and was stolen, got used to leading the flock. And now the balim have to be aware of that in order to watch it more carefully. So in a case where there's dat balim, where the balim are aware of the fact that the animal is missing, and then later on the animals return and they count their flock and they see that it's full again, they realize that the animal that left is now back, and they'll know to watch it. Or, obviously, if the person informs them they've returned, they know about it. But in a case of lo midat, the balim never knew it was stolen, and it's returned there, it doesn't matter whether you count it, doesn't matter what you do at this point, unless you inform the balim about the fact that it was taken, they won't know to do a better shmirah. And that's what Rav Chista says. Shalom midat. The only way to solve the problem is to actually inform the balim the midat. You have to give them indication that it's been returned so they know to watch it better. Gemara says, Umi Amar Rava Hachi. Did Rava really say this? Vava Rava. Hi, Manda Chazil Chavred Agva Imram Idra Didei. If a person sees from afar somebody's coming to steal, grab a sheep out of his Eder. Varama Bekola. He screams at him. Vishajo, and he runs off, and he has no idea if the guy put the sheep back or he didn't put it back in. Umeito nignav, and it was dies in a stone, chayav achriyuto. So then he's responsible for it. So here in this case, it's a case where we do have dat balim. He saw them stealing it from his flock. He's not sure if it's returned, and yet what do we see over here? That if, even if he finds it full afterwards, right, we say it's chayav achriyuto, my love, dat of the money, even though he counted them, he knows they're all back there now. He's still chayav. So that means even by dat balim, Rava does not accept minyan as a replacement. Meaning, according to Rava, if you have the dumb balim that was stolen, the only way to give it back is to inform them. So Mar says, lo, the low money. The case that Rava is talking about is a case where they didn't count it afterwards. So he has no idea it's returned. If he doesn't know it's returned, then the only way for him to know about it is that you inform him that it's returned. Had he counted it, in Ochanami, you would have been patur, but he didn't count them. So if he didn't count them, the only way for the ganav to be patur is if he actually tells him he returned. If he doesn't tell him he returned it, then when the Imra dies, or is Nignav, the Ganav is responsible. Mar says, Umi Amar Rav Hachi. Did Rav really make such a statement? What was Rav's position? We saw before that Rav's position was the dat, tzarech dat. When the balim know about it, you need dat. Shalomi dat. If it's not known by the balim that it was stolen, you have two options. Either minyan, if the bellin counted, they'll be patur, or if you inform them, they'll be patur. Where it says, did Rav really say this? V'hama Rav, doesn't Rav say, hekziru the eider should be midbar yatsa? A person returns the animal that was stolen to the midbar yatsa. So if that's the case, here you have a case that was taken shalobadad balim, because it's from a eider, it's a flock that's out in the midbar, somewhere far away where the balim are not aware of the fact that it was taken, and now he's returning it, right, shalomidat, without informing the balim. So we said before, you have two options when it comes to returning an animal. One is by shalomidat, according to Rav, when the balim didn't know it was stolen, either you inform them or you count it. Here we have neither, and Rav says you're patur. So Rav Chanan bar Ava moder Rav b'rikaota. This case is a case of rikaota. What does it mean, rakua or rikaota? Rikaota means something that's talu, that's something that's spotted. But the meaning of the Gemara is that it's something that is an animal that's identifiable. It's easily identifiable. It stands out from the crowd. So therefore, when it was stolen, it was obvious that the balim was missing because it's such a unique animal that as soon as it was gone, they noticed it. And when it came back, they also noticed it. So there is almost a implicit dad balim, both from the Gneva and in the returning of it because the animal is identifiable. Gemara says, Lema Kitanai. Let us say that this machloket about when minyan poter applies is actually a machloket tanayim. Why? Hagonev tle mina eider, someone who steals a sheep from the flock, right? Vesela mina kis, or a coin from the wallet, the makom shena ganav yakzir. To the place that he stole it from, he should return it. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rekiva omer, tzarich dat balim. Rekiva says, no, you have to inform the balim that you've returned it. Savua. So let us assume, right, anacha is that kuli al itluhud Rav Yitzchak. Everybody holds of Rav Yitzchak. What's Rav Yitzchak? The Amar Rav Yitzchak. Adam asur de mashmesh bikiso b'chol sha'ah. The person's always filling his pocket for the coins and he's aware of what's in his wallet. So he'll notice if something's missing and he'll also notice if something was returned. I can't say that means every second he's checking it, but over a certain duration of time, we assume that a person is aware of what's in his wallet, and if it's missing, he'll know about it, and if it's returned, he'll also know about it. So therefore, my love, so that's, what's the case here? Besela ledat, right, that it was stolen, right, the sela is the dat, why is it known that it was stolen? The coin stolen from the wallet, has he know about it? Because he counts his money all the time. He always checks in his wallet, he always knows how much is in his wallet. So over here too, he knows how much is in his wallet because he's counting the number. He sees the coin missing. Uplukta the Rabbi Shmuel and the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Here we have the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. What does it mean, the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel? Rav and Shmuel argued about the case of dat. The case we have dat balim, does minyan help you or does minyan not help you? Rav said minyan doesn't help you. Minyan only helps when it's shalomi dat. Rav Shmuel says, no, minyan helps even when there is dat balim. Even when the balim was stolen, if they count it and find it, hold it, it's good. That's a good returning. You don't have to inform them. So you'll see that's the exact case here. Here it was in a wallet. He counts his money all the time. He knows it's missing. And then because he counts his money all the time again, he knows when it was returned. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're done. Just like Shmuel. Minyan is enough. Counting, even when you have the balim aware of it being stolen, when it's returned and they've counted it, you're patur. And the Rav will be like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, even though, right, you've returned it, that's not enough. You have to inform the balim. Why? Because it was taken with that balim. They checked their coins all the time. They knew it was missing. And now when you return it, doesn't matter that they count their coins again and see it's full. It doesn't help you. You have to inform the balim. Some suggest that's a machokas. And by Tleh, by the case of Tleh, which there you obviously can't say that he's asui, right, the notes all his money. He's not counting them all the time, not like his wallet. And Tosos points out that that's why they did it. They put the stam kis is regularly the dot. My wallet is normally the dot because the person is aware of what's missing to it. And a stam tle shalot the dot because, in general, people aren't counting their flocks every second. So therefore, tle shalot the dot, tle, which is a case of a lola dot, where he wasn't aware of it being stolen, and that would be the pukta of Chista Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rabbi Kiva and Shmuel would be the same machokas of Chista Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because what is Rav Chista? Rav Chista says when Shlomi dat, when the balim are not aware of the stolen item, then minyan counting it or having returned is not sufficient. That's not enough. You have to either inform, you have to inform the balim. The only way to when it's Shlomi dat to have it work is when you inform the balim. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan believes Shlomi dat, you don't need anything. If the balim are not aware of it ever being stolen, you return it, you're done. So that'll be the position of Rabbi Shmuel. You took the tle out, you put it back, everything's fine. And Rabbi Akiva's position is no, you gotta inform the balim, just like Rav Chista. So it'll turn out that Rav and Shmuel and Rav Chista and Rabbi Yochanan, their machlokis will be the similar to the machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, depending on kis or tle. Kis by dat, and tle, shalomi dat. So when it says, no, I'm Rabbi Zvid, Mishmei the Rava. No. That doesn't have to be the case. Bishomer shaganav mirshuta balim. When is Shomer steals from the balim themselves? Everybody agrees to the position of Rav Chista that if you take Shlomi Dat, you have to inform them. That's not a question over here. You have to inform them. The case over here is b'shomer shaganav mirshuto. Question is about a shomer that stole from his own possession. I mean, this machlokas in Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel has nothing to do with what we just suggested before, like Rav and Shmuel, Rav Chista, Rav Yochanan. They agree if you stole from a third party, they agree to Rav Chista's position, that's the way we pass an halacha, that if Shlomi Dat, if you're not aware of it, then you need Dat, you have to inform the Balim. If it's Midat, then you have the option of doing it Midat, or doing it through Minyan to be Poter. The problem is, it's a unique case. What's the case? The case is that the Shomer has something in his possession, and he decides he's gonna take it, right? He's gonna steal it from the Balim, and he's gonna say to them it was stolen. So he says, I'm going to steal it. Then he changes his mind. He has a change of heart, and he wants to put the item back. So he wants to make himself into a shomer again. He wants to put the item back and say, I returned it to the balim. So that's the case. Halacha b'shomer shegadam yirshuto, right? There's a case where the shomer was stolen from its own reshut, meaning that he stole it, right? Shechzir lemkom shganav, and then he returns it to the place that he took it from. So now he returns to the place he took it from. What's the story? This is what the kamislege. That's what they're arguing. Rakiva savar kalto lo shmirato. Once he became a ganav, he's no longer a shomer. Then he becomes responsible for the item, no matter what happens to it. And once he's a ganav, he can't accept the item back on behalf of the balim, because he's no longer empowered by the balim anymore. He's lost his status of shmirah, because the balim are no longer going to believe him. The fact that he stole it loses him the right to be the shomer, the representative of the balim. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel believes several local to shmirato, that since he never acted on this, he never really did the stealing, he didn't take it out of the possession of the balim, he never made a claim of toin tanat ganav that it was stolen from him, that means that his shmirah was never terminated. If his shmirah is never terminated, when he places it back, meaning that he has a change of heart and says, I'm going to be a shomer again, then he continues his shmirah, and therefore he's patur, because he's still a shomer, and it's as if he returned it to the ba'alim. So Gemara says, lema minyan poter, tonight, let us say that this idea of minyan poter is actually a machlokas tanaim, the tanya, we have a b'risa, a guzel et chaviro. A person who steals from his friend, v'ivliya lo b'cheshbon. He has another transaction with his friend that he stole from, and when he pays him for that transaction, he adds additional money to him. So in order to pay the gzela, he overpays him in another transaction without the person who's receiving the money being aware. So tani chada yatsa, v'tanya idach lo yatsa, two b'ritot. One b'rita says, he's yotzei, that's good enough, that's considered returning it. One b'rita says, that's not sufficient. So v'ruad kuma alma yituhu du'av yitzchak. Again, we're going to make an assumption that everybody holds a Rabbi Yitzchak, that is what? Damar adam asur demashmesh b'kiso b'chol sha'ah v'sha'ah. That a person is always checking his wallet. If he's always checking his wallet, that means that he knows when the coin is missing, he knows when he's been stolen from, and he also is aware of when somebody has returned money to him. So in this case, my love, hakamisoge, this is what they are. Demanda reyotza, the vice of the thing that says that you are yotze, sever minyan poter, says minyan's enough. He knew it was stolen. Now when you gave him excess money back in the new transaction, he's going to count the money. He got the money, he's going to realize it was extra, and he's going to realize that it was returned, and it's done, deal. Umanda amar lo yatsa, the one who says, the price says that's not sufficient, sever minyan inu poter, says that's not enough. If you don't inform him that you're returning the money, that's not sufficient. I mean, that simple fact that he's counting the money, he's aware now that there's more money in there, that's not enough to be poter him. So Gemara says, Imre, Isver, Lanker, Rabbi Yitzchak. No, that's true. If we held a Rabbi Yitzchak that a person always checking, then Kuliyam lo pligi, the minyan poter. Everybody agrees that minyan works. The counting is enough to make him patur. Ella, so what's the machlokas between these two brayot? But Rabbi Yitzchak, they're exactly. We made an assumption that everybody holds a Rabbi Yitzchak. But maybe that is the Iker machlokas between the two brayot. One brayot holds a Rabbi Yitzchak, and Mari Yitzchak does it. Mari later Rabbi Yitzchak, the brayot that holds a Rabbi Yitzchak says that you're patur because you counted it. Mari less later Rabbi Yitzchak. True. If you had counted it, you would be patur. But the problem is that you didn't count it here. And he doesn't hold the Rabbi Yitzchak. He doesn't assume that you're always counting your money, always checking how much you have in your wallet. And therefore, in this case, it's not sufficient. You have to inform the balim. Otherwise, it's not classified as a minyan. V by dim, or another way to solution, the kumayama yama yidlu the Rabbi Yitzchak. Everybody holds the Rabbi Yitzchak and you're always counting. V'lo kasha. That's not a question. Had the money, v'rama lebikise. Question is what he did with it. Is it that he counted it out, the buyer, or this person, the thief who wants to return the money, counts out some of this other money in front of the individual, the nigzal that he's stolen from, and he dumps it into his pocket. And the other case is a case where he counts out the money in front of him, and he places it into his hand. So what's the difference if he places it into his wallet, or if he places it into his hand? Because if he places it into the hand of the nigzal, right, what is he going to do with it? He's not going to put it in his pocket, he's going to put it into the cash register. He's going to throw it right into the cash register. Once he throws it into the cash register, he's not going to know then if there's excess, he's not going to count it. So in the case where he places it into his hand, then you're not yotze. Why? Because there's no minyan anymore. There's no counting. Because the nigzal is never going to count it, because he's just going to throw it into his cash register. On the other hand, if you counted it out and then you placed it into his wallet or you placed it into his pocket, then that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says, that in wallet or in his pocket, he's always going to check the money, and then he's going to see there's excess. When he sees there's excess, that's considered hashavah, that's considering a return of the money. Rabbi Damon, the last solution that the Gemara gives of what the machlokes between these brayot is either he did the money, the Rama Bikise. Both cases are a case where he counted the money dumped in his pocket. Depends if he had change in his pocket already or not. So meaning he had change in his pocket beforehand. When you dump the money in there, he's not sure if that was the original change that was there, if this is excess money, and therefore it's not classified as a hashavah or attorney, and you have to inform him. The other hand, if he has nothing else in his pocket, and that money goes in, he's going to count it, he's going to know for sure that there was excess money, and that is considered to be hashavah, because then he'll be aware once he counts the money. Now, this is what I introduced it before when I said that Rav Yitzchak's position is that when you count all the time, people know are aware of how much is in their wallet. You can't say it means every minute they're aware, but they're aware over larger periods of time. They're basically aware what's in the wallet, so they'll know if it's stolen, they'll know if it's returned. So here too, otherwise, if he only knows what's in his wallet, he also knows how much change is in his pocket. If he also knows how much change is in his pocket, he can work out that he has extra. So it's clear here that it doesn't mean every second he knows, but in general he knows what's in there. So if he had some change in there, he wasn't aware of how much it was, and then when you dump the extra in it, he's just not going to be able to discern between the change that was there before and the excess that you paid back. On the other hand, if there's nothing in his pocket, he will be aware of the excess. Okay, now the next Mishnah. You're not allowed to buy from shepherds wool, milk, and animals, and livestock. Can't buy from them because the assumption is that they're watching for other people, and if they're selling this stuff, it's stolen from the people they're watching these sheep for. You cannot buy from people who watch fruit trees or fruit. Their job is to guard the fruit or guard the fruit trees. You're not allowed to buy fruit from them because the underlying assumption, or basically the point, is that they don't own, they have no ownership within the fruit. They're just outsiders watching the fruit. If they're selling you fruit, it means that they're stealing from the Baal Bayit and selling you the fruit. But from women, you're allowed to buy klit semer b'yuda. You're allowed to buy wool items in Yuda, klipishtan, linen items in the Galil, vagalim b'sharon. Rashi brings two interpretations of what agalim b'sharon means. Either agalim that are ro'ed, that are grazing in the sharon, means in a large, vast area, b'rechava, they can call out in a public area. Since they're grazing in a public area, they're not stolen. Or the other possibility is sharon's the place, it's a location. And that's what their livelihood was bringing or herding animals. So therefore, in each of these locations, this was the livelihood, or this is what the women did, this is what they worked in, this is the craft they were involved in. And so when they sell you something, we don't assume they stole it from their husband, we assume that that's the normal course, normal behavior of women in this area, and therefore if they're selling it to you, their husbands know about it, or they gave them the items in order to sell. So it's not considered to be an item that is hot or stolen. Anybody who sells you an item and says, put it away, don't show anybody, don't let anybody know I sold it to you, hide it, then it's a sur, because we know, by definition, if they're telling you that, probably a hot item, probably not something that you should be buying. You're allowed to buy eggs and chickens in any place. So now the Gemara says, Tarabanan, En lochim naroim, lo izim, v'lo gdim, v'lo gizin, v'lo tlushin shel tzemer. That you're not allowed to buy from shepherds, you're not allowed to buy from them, not an ez, not a gdi, any type, different types of goats, v'lo gizin, and not the shearings, v'lo tlushim, and not the wool that fell off of the animal, shel tzemer. Avalochim, and what you can buy from them is tfurim. You can buy from them is stuff that is already stitched or woven, mifnei she'en shelahen, that because it belongs to them. So what does that mean, mifnei she'en shelahen? So there's one possibility, the way to describe it, is that they were koneh, b'shinei reshut. Even if they did steal it from the balim, now that they wove it already, they have a shinoi shame on the item, and therefore they're koneh the items. Once they sell it to you, they are selling their own item, even though they're responsible to repay the balim, but you're not buying a hot item anymore because the ganav or the gazlan now owns it with a yeush and shinoi reshut, or shinoi shame. The other possibility is that we see this in other places in the Gemara, that when a person invests money or effort into an item, then we assume it's not stolen. Because if a person really stole the item, or if the item is a hot item, then a person will not invest energy or money into this item because of the fear that they'll be caught and be taken back, and then all the extra money they exert, all the extra energy or money that they invested in this item or they expended here will go to waste. So they won't do it. So the fact that he spent the time and he wove it or he did something with the item, that is an indication that's probably his, because he wouldn't have invested those energies in an item that was stolen. So two possibilities to explain why. And you can buy for them chalav ugvina b'midbar. Not to buy for them milk and cheese out of the midbar, v'lo b'yishuv, but not in the local areas. Why? In the midbar you can buy from them, because the assumption is that they're so far out from where the owners are, that the owners basically give over the rights to the shepherds. They don't expect the shepherds to bring them back the milk and the cheese, because they're too far away. On the other hand, in the yeshuv, if they're close by where people live, then the balim's expectation is that the ro'im, or the ro'eh, will bring back whatever milk it is each daily. He'll drop off the milk and cheese that came from these animals, and therefore if you buy from them, it's stolen goods. Now you're allowed to buy from them four or five livestock, or four or five shearings, of a low shit state zone, low shit is in, but not two. Five or five is enough, but not two. Why is that? Because four and five is an obvious number. Now, either for one of two reasons. Either four or five is obvious, meaning that it's such a large number that a person would notice if they were taken from their flock. So therefore, if the roe does that, the balim are going to be aware that he stole from them. Or the possibility is that a roe can make a claim that when one or two animals are missing from the flock, that a wolf came and ate them, one of them got lost. But if you hit four or five, you can't make a claim, oh, they all got eaten, or they all got lost. That's just too big a number for him to make such a claim, so you can't steal them and make that claim to the balim. So either way, either the balim will be aware of the stolen item, or because the roe can't make a good claim to the balim, he won't steal that many. So in that case, you're allowed to buy that number. But a smaller number, since either the balim won't notice, or number two, the roe can, in that case, make a claim, you can steal them and then say, oh, yeah, they were eaten, or they were lost, that is a valid claim for. So in that case, then he is, you cannot buy it from him. Then Rabbi Huda, when it comes to domesticated, those that are close to the yeshuv, then you can buy from them. When they're out of midbar, ein lochim him. Which part of the brace over here is Rabbi Huda modifying will be the subject of the Gemara later on. It'll be tomorrow's daf. So the Gemara, he's referring to the ratio of the seifa. But the basic principle we laid out here is kosher ro'em mocher u'balabait margish, anything that the shepherd sells and the balabait will be aware of it, either because the roe has no claim now or because it's so obvious it's missing from the herd, then lochimen, then you're allowed to do it. In margish, both, he's not going to be aware of it, and lochimen, then you can't buy for them. So amamar. So we had the Bryce made a statement, lochimen dalabehe tzon v'dalabehe gizin. You can buy four or five for them. So now, if you can buy four, hashtag yeshlamar arba, zavnin, chamisha, mimim bay, why does the Mishnah have to give an example of four or five? If you can buy four, you certainly can buy five. Why do I need four or five? So I'm like, no problem, I'll explain this, arba mitoch chamisha. What it means, four, it doesn't mean four or five, it means four out of five. If the flock that he's watching is five, you can sell four, because that's such an obvious number. It's so much missing from the flock that it'll be clear that it's gone, and therefore when you're buying four out of the five, there's no issue at all. Other people say that the explanation of Chista is like this. Arba me'idr katan. Four, you're allowed to buy four from a small flock. And chamisha me'idr gadol. And five from a big flock. Meaning that it's relative to the size or the context in which they're being bought. Four from a small flock is enough to be considered missing or that a roe can't make a claim about them. And five is considered to be significant enough that it would be classified or easy for the balim to spot in a larger group, as well as that the roe won't have such a claim. So four and five are dealing with different size flocks. So it's not four or five, it's four if small flock, five if it's a large flock. Hagufa kasho, the brace itself that we just brought down has an internal stira, which is amart dalavehe tzon dalavehe gizin, that when it comes to four or five dalavehe in, four or five yes, avashlo shlo, that means it implies that three you cannot. Ema sefer, but then the next line the brace says avalo state tzon, that means not two. If not two, it means hashalosh zavina. That means that three is okay. So when it says lokash abivraita abichisto, depends on what type of animals we're talking about here. When we're talking about large, healthy animals, then you only need two to be. Even if two are missing, then it's a problem, right? Three are missing, then you can buy them because they'll be noticeable. Either they're noticeable because they're so big, or because really the balim pay more attention to them. They're healthy animals. It's a good flock. He's going to focus on every animal there, and he knows when they're missing. And if it's a flock of the leftovers, it's weak animals, things he doesn't care so much about. So in that instance, three is not sufficient to be noticeable. He must have a four or five in order to be noticeable. So therefore, in that case, three is not enough. He can only buy when it's four or five, because that'll be noticeable, and then the balim will pay attention to it. All right, so we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll continue with the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda's statement.